Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Bill Cloud again, and we want to welcome you to our program. And we hope you're having a great day and a great week. Hope that you have been keeping up with these programs, and because we, as we go along here, we're building on all the previous programs. We started out talking about things that are concealed and revealed, and have shared with you multiple scriptures to convey this concept that there are things that the Creator purposely has hidden, concealed within His Scripture. Not that He doesn't want us to know, but as a matter of fact, He hides them to provoke us to go find them. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. These things can't be opened, these things can't be discovered unless we're knocking, unless we're seeking. So we're going to continue in this vein today and talk more about the concept of things that are hidden, things that are being revealed. And as we begin today, I want to read to you from the Gospels in Mark chapter 4, specifically verse 22, the words of the Messiah. He says this, he says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." And so he conveys to us this idea that there are things indeed that have been kept hidden, but they're always at their appointed time going to come to light. The concept that we're trying to present to you here in all of these programs is the idea that we want to return to the roots of our faith. We want to get back down, if you will, beneath the surface and discover the roots of our faith. And I want you to consider this, that in a plant or a tree, those things that are above ground are in the light. Those are the things that are revealed. But those things that are hidden, that is the roots, are in darkness. They're down beneath where the sunlight can reach. They're in darkness. But to say that they're in darkness does not insinuate that they're some kind of evil thing. It does not insinuate that there is an absence of light, or excuse me, of life. In fact, that's where the life for all these plants and trees begins. The life is there in that root system, where that seed was. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 4, verse 22, the passage that we just read to you, it's within the context of the parable of the sower. A sower goes out to sow seed, and the seed falls on good ground. Well, if the seed falls on ground, typically seed is covered by the ground. And that seed is hidden in the ground. Until all the proper conditions come together, then that seed will begin to germinate, and then it'll shoot up the blade, and then it's beginning to be revealed, and as it grows, as it matures, it produces fruit. But the point was, is that where this all begins is in darkness, where the light is not. But once again, darkness should not just be automatically equated with evil. Darkness shouldn't just be associated with the absence of life. But darkness, as we're going to see, is those or representative of those things that we don't yet perceive, those things that are obscure. But now let's go back to something else real quick before we move on to that. And that is that if these things are going to be revealed to us, and when they are revealed to us, that it will not be strictly and exclusively through human efforts. It's important that you and I study the Word. It's important that you and I do all we can to develop the tools that are needed to understand God's Word. But ultimately, a degree is not going to reveal these things to you. Ultimately, all the Bible knowledge in the world is not going to reveal these things to you. If these things are going to be revealed to us, it's always going to come by the Spirit of God. Because according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul tells us that these hidden things, that God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. And so, once again, when we say deep things of God, that is not to suggest that we have to have a theological degree in order to understand them. You know, I believe it's very important for people to learn Hebrew because that's the language of the Tanakh, the Torah, and the prophets and the different writings. And I think it's crucial in understanding a lot of things. However, you can learn Hebrew, you can go to seminary, you can get all these things, all these tools, and yet that's not going to be the thing that reveals God's Word completely to us. We're going to have to be, or these things are going to have to be revealed to us by His Spirit. He's the one who brings all these things into light. Because, as we're going to see in the Scripture, it was the Spirit of God who at the very beginning brought all these things that were in darkness into light. Because what we're talking about are concepts and truths and principles and precepts that, you know, God didn't just decide 5,000 or 6,000 years into human history to drop something new on us. Even the truth that the Word would become flesh and dwell among us, go to a tree, be hung, be crucified, buried in a tomb, and to rise again on the third day, that was not something He decided 4,000 years into human history. That was something that was ordained before the world, before the foundation of the world. And so likewise, we're discussing other things that have always been, that things that are from the foundation of the world. And again, it's the Spirit of God who from the very beginning of time is who brings things out of darkness into light. Let's read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering or brooding over the face of the waters. And so what we see here, number one, is before the creation of the heavens and the earth, there wasn't anything. There was nothing but the glory of God. And frankly, you and I can't perceive and we can't conceive of the glory of God. That is something that escapes our ability to comprehend. Consequently, that's why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, because we beheld His glory, it says in John chapter 1. But consider also that before the creations of heaven and earth, that there is nothing except the glory of God, but we can't even conceive of what nothing is. That escapes our ability to comprehend, because that's something that you and I would define based on our earthbound existence. And so we're talking about things that it's the human brain, the human mind, can't simply comprehend. We can't articulate these things. We can try, but these are things that, if you will, are in darkness. Well, we see in the very beginning that it is the Spirit of God who brings things out of darkness into light, because, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, there was no light. That is something that is about to happen in the creation account. Let me also suggest this, that light is not the absence of darkness necessarily. Let's turn that around. You and I would assume that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, before there is light, that there is darkness. That was something that's just that had to be because there was no light. But I also want you to understand this, that darkness is something that was created by God. Isaiah tells us that God created not only the light, but He created the darkness as well. And so it's difficult for us to comprehend that darkness is something that is created. So what am I getting at here? I'm going to suggest that light represents those things that are revealed, those things that are no longer hidden, those things that we are able to understand and to perceive. But darkness, those things, are representative of those things that we can't perceive, that we don't understand, that escape our ability to comprehend. But just because we associate that with darkness, again, we should not say darkness represents something that's evil, or we shouldn't say that darkness represents something that there is no life, because we need to understand that even the Creator dwells even in darkness. As a matter of fact, there's no place that He doesn't exist. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, "If I ascend into heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You're there." So what does that tell me? There's no place I can go. There's no place I can go that He isn't already there, because His Spirit fills the universe. It is the Spirit of God who brought all these things out of darkness. So again, I'm going to recommend to you the possibility that in the creation account, we see physical things that are happening. But may I suggest that they represent spiritual things as well? You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that first we have the natural and then the spiritual, which is to tell us that natural things teach us of spiritual principles. So once again, if there was darkness upon the face of the deep in the very beginning, and then he says, let there be light, and that's by the Spirit of God that he does this, then he is taking things that are obscure, things that are hard to understand, things that are hidden, and he's bringing them into the light. And so the light represents those things that are revealed. The darkness represents his hiddenness. But again, he's everywhere. He's not only in the light, but he's in the darkness, because there's nowhere we can go that he isn't already there. Let me read to you something from Exodus chapter 20 to kind of underscore this. And so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. I'm going to read in Psalm 18 also. It says that he made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And so in these two passages, and there are many more to support this, we see that not only is God in the light, but God exists in the darkness as well. That when the account of Mount Sinai, when the people awoke to the mountain smoking and burning as a furnace and hearing all these trumpets and thunderings and lightnings, etc., that the Creator was there on the top of the mountain. He spoke to them from the midst of the thick, dark cloud, but that he was concealed in darkness. And Moses had to draw near to the darkness where he was. The psalmist says that he makes darkness his secret place. That's where he dwells. Might I add that that's for our benefit. Because if we were to behold all of his glory, you know, what would happen to a man if he looked upon God? Well, he told Moses, a man can't look upon me and live. And so there are things that are in darkness. And we're not talking about evil. We're talking about those hidden things. That represents where God is hidden, those obscure things. There are things that had to remain hidden for our benefit. There are things still within his word that if he were to open it all up to us all at one time, I guarantee you it would be more than anybody could handle. So then I guess what I'm saying is this. We haven't gotten it all figured out. There are a lot of things in his word that he continues to reveal to us as we seek. He continues to make known to us as we knock. He continues to bring into the light as we dig, as we search diligently for these things. He wants to reveal them to us, but we have got to be willing to search diligently for them. Now, we're going to do a little Hebrew word study here, and that is the word darkness. And specifically in Psalm 18 that we just read for you, and also in Genesis chapter 1. And the Hebrew word is called choshech. Choshech. And if you know a little Hebrew, that's chet, shin, chaf, sofit. Choshech. And of course, again, we understand, according to Isaiah 45, verse 7, that God created darkness. He created choshech. Now, there are some understandings about what this word is, and it's not what you and I would typically think choshech or darkness is. Because again, you and I think, well, if there's no light, then there's darkness. Well, it's much more than that. One rabbinical interpretation of this word choshech is opaque matter. And of course, the word opaque is something that's it's not illuminated, it's obscure, it's hidden, it's concealed, it's hard to discern, you know, all these concepts. And so, in other words, choshech is not an intangible thing. It is something that was created, but it is an opaque matter. Some say opaque energy. And that is, in fact, the hidden component of creation. Now, I know just enough about cosmology to be dangerous, but I do know this, that cosmologists have determined that the vast majority of the creation consists of what is called dark energy and or dark matter. It is something that can be measured. It is something that they can see the results of this dark energy and this dark matter. The problem is they can't see it. They can only see its effects in the universe. And so they've called it dark energy, which forms dark matter. Well, interestingly, we understand that the Creator spoke the universe into existence. It is by His Word that all these things exist and consist. And so it's possible, and I guess this is what I'm getting at, that what cosmologists call dark energy or dark matter might in fact be what the Scriptures called choshech, darkness. It's not the absence of life. In fact, it's where the Creator is, these hidden things. And He brings these hidden things, when it's time, into light. Let me read to you something from the New Testament that should kind of help us understand this a little better. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, the writer of Hebrews tells us this: "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Well, if the things that we do see are not made of things that are visible, that means that the things we see are made of things that aren't visible. The things that we do perceive and understand are there because of things that we can't see and comprehend. And ultimately, the writer of Hebrews tells us that that's the Word of God. When we peer out into the cosmos and we see all the stars and the heavenly bodies, we understand that it was the Word of God that created all those things. And yet we can't see the Word of God. We see its effects. We see what it has accomplished. We see what it has caused to come into being. We see that it continues to cause these things to exist and to stay in their place and to follow in their orbits. We see its effects, but we don't see it. It's in darkness, so to speak. And again, I have to repeat this. That is not to say the absence of life. It's just to say that it's obscure. It's hidden from our eyes. And yet, it's those hidden things. If you've been keeping up with these programs, it's oftentimes those things that we don't see that are the foundation of the things that we do see. It's the things that we don't perceive that are actually upholding the things that we do see. And in this particular case, it's the thing we don't see, the Word of God, that's actually upholding everything that we do see. And so this is the concept behind the word choshech. And so when it says in Genesis that darkness, or choshech, was on the face of the deep, that is not just to say the absence of life or light. It's actually in that is the Word of God that's about to move upon the face of the waters and bring things that are in darkness into light. Because the next thing He's going to do in the creation account is to say, "Let there be light." So, just one more time, all the things that we see and perceive are there. They exist because of what we do not see. And ultimately, this is, of course, referring to the Word of God. And going back to what the psalmist says, that the Creator makes choshech, darkness, His secret place. Now, the light, of course, is what we do understand. If the darkness is representative of His hiddenness and those things that are concealed, then, of course, the light is what we do perceive and what we do understand and what is brought to our attention that we can comprehend. And so, interestingly, the Word became flesh. And when the Word becomes flesh, He's regarded as being the light of the world. Because now, when we see the Messiah, when we perceive Him, He said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." And so when we perceive Him, who is the light of the world, then we can begin to understand more fully the Father. We can begin to understand His Word, because Messiah came not to do away with the law and the prophets, He said, but to make them full of meaning. In other words, to take things that have been obscure in darkness and now bring them into the light. So we see this principle being manifest for us in the Messiah Himself. God becoming flesh so that we can see and understand and perceive and comprehend God. And the ultimate thing we understand and comprehend about our Father through the Messiah, His Son, is that He loves His people so much that He gave us His Son to die on our behalf. Now, let me read to you from Exodus chapter 3. And verse 15 says this, "This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Now, the word forever is the term in Hebrew, le'olam. And if we had the term le'olam spelled for you in Hebrew, we could show you that not only does this word spell le'olam, but it could also be translated as le'alam, which means to be hidden. And so my point is this, the rabbi saw this connection in concepts between forever, le'olam, and hidden, le'alam, years ago. And so what they did was they detected or deduced from this particular verse that we just read that His name is hidden. His name is somewhat concealed. That is the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And that is why to this day in Judaism, they do not pronounce the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. They will say Hashem, they will say Adonai, what have you. And that's why. But one exception that they made to this rule was in the temple. Because the idea was, you see, if God is hidden, if He's concealed, then His name is only to be pronounced where there is light. And so it was in the temple that His name would be pronounced. And so in other words, what we're saying is, He wasn't hidden in His temple. Therefore, it was not necessary for His name to remain hidden. And so just kind of substantiating, there's this darkness in which He dwells. And then He brings things into the light. But now, what we want to understand is that we, you and me, through the Messiah, our bodies have become temples of the Holy Spirit. And so it is, I believe, His will that those things are still in darkness, those things that are still hard to perceive and to comprehend, through the Messiah and by His Spirit, He wants those things to be revealed in us. He wants these things to come to life in us. He wants them to be manifest in our lives. The Messiah revealed so much to us about the Father when He was among us. And now by His Spirit, He's wanting to make those same truths evident to everybody that we come in contact with. And so in other words, He wants the universe, He wants His creation to be filled with light. I want to read to you from Job chapter 12, verse 22. It says that He uncovers deep things out of darkness, and He brings the shadow of death to light. So once again, this scripture and others convey to us that those things that are in darkness, those things that are obscure, that it is the Creator's desire to bring those things into the light. He's wanting to play hide and seek. He's hiding things, but not to keep them from us. He's playing hide and seek in the sense that those things that He's hidden, He's provoking you and me to go search for them. He wants us to find them. He wants those things to be brought into light. And once they're brought into the light, once those things that are hidden are in a place of being revealed, then He wants us to embrace them. He wants us to internalize them. He wants them wants us to appropriate them into our life so that we can produce fruit, so that we can be a light where we go, that we can be a light in the midst of the darkness, if you will, that we can be a light to those that we come into contact with. Because according to 1 Peter 2:9, He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, the Messiah, of course, is the one who personified in the very beginning the light of the world. But interestingly, in that creation account, where you have the light of the world on the first day, you have heavenly bodies that are put in the sky, in the heavens, that are to be a body, to house that light. And some of those lights govern during the day, and the other light governs during the night. And so what we're going to begin to do in the next program is we're going to see how this concept of concealed and revealed, how it takes on form, if you will. In other words, not just hiding words, not just hiding concepts, but as a matter of fact, there are times that he has hidden his people, that he has hidden them in body, so to speak, and in form, and at the proper time has revealed them. And why? So that his purposes, once hidden, come into light, that his secrets, being revealed to his servants, the prophets, can then be disseminated to all of his people, so that all of his people will know what the Father is doing in the earth in these days. I hope that you'll be back with us next week, because we're just getting started good. But until then, bless you. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuildCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuildCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.